Good evening. Dear brothers and sisters, please open your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Please prepare your heart and listen to God's holy word. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day, which you set up for our benefit. Please continue to bless us and speak to our hearts. May your gospel give us strength to walk in your light and in your truth, because your gospel is a power for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, what do you think of the gospel? Perhaps for you, and for many American Christians, the gospel is so glorious and so amazing that you are proud because you are the believers of this glorious gospel. But it is true that the world thinks of the gospel in this way. I want to tell a Chinese story. More than 2,000 years ago, there was a Chinese named Bian He. He saw occasionally a beautiful phoenix upon an ugly stone. For ancient Chinese, they believed that a phoenix only perched on the precious jade. Therefore, Bian He offered this ugly stone to the Chinese king as a precious gift. But everyone thought that it was only an ugly stone, and Bian He just wanted to cheat the king. As a result, Bian He was cut off the 2 feet, and he was also scorned and despised by everyone as a failed cheat. However, Bian He continued to keep offering it to the king so that the king would not bear long with him. The king commanded his craftsmen to split the stone and found such a beautiful jade, which later became the symbol of the royal power of China for 1,000 years. In fact, the true gospel is just like the stone which Bian He offered. It is ugly, weak, and shameful in the world's eyes. It is even scorned and despised by the unbelieving world. The Bible tells us this is the way the world thinks of the gospel. Yes, the true gospel must sound embarrassing and shameful to the world. But the passage today tells us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because only the gospel is the power for your salvation. Only in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, believe unashamedly in the gospel. Believe unashamedly in the gospel. First, you must recognize that the true gospel is shameful to the world. Let's look at verse 16a. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. In fact, this sentence is just the explanation of the preceding verse, verse 15, because there is a conjunction for in the beginning. So we should ask, what happened in verse 15? In verse 15, Paul said, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Are you not surprised for what Paul said here? Why? When Paul was eager to preach the gospel to the Romans, his first response here was not to be ashamed of the gospel. There is a historical background. Actually, just 8 years before Paul wrote this letter, the Jewish believers in Rome were expelled from Rome by Caesar Claudius because they evangelized actively and believed to be instigating riots in the name of Christ. They had to leave their jobs, their houses, their relatives, and their familiar hometown. In other words, the gospel brought to them not the glorious status and the security in Roman Empire, but the exile and the shame. Only 3 years before, after Claudius died, they could sneak back to Rome. But you can imagine how awkward and shameful they would feel to proclaim the gospel after that. If when you go to share the gospel to your friend, in the end, your friend asks you, well, if I believe your gospel, what will happen to me? And you answer, well, you will lose your job, you will lose your property, and you will be expelled. Dear brothers and sisters, how will your friend respond to that? However, the gospel is actually much more shameful than that. As Paul said in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the gospel is foolish because it proclaimed Christ crucified. Actually, the word foolish or foolishness appeared 5 times. In the chapter 1 of the 1 Corinthians. In other words, what does the gospel teach you? The true gospel teaches you to follow a king. But who was cursed? And to follow a god. But who had died? Is there anything in the world more ridiculous than the gospel? Dear brothers and sisters, you must recognize that the shamefulness of the gospel to the world. If you never feel shameful for the gospel, maybe you don't really understand the meaning of the gospel. Yes, the gospel must sound embarrassing and shameful because its center is the shameful cross and the cursed God. However, do not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for your salvation. Let's look at verse 16 again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, But it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel indeed sounds shameful, but it is not the full gospel. Christ died, yes, but he was also resurrected. In fact, if Christ was not raised up from the dead, the gospel is truly and completely shameful. However, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verses 2 through 4, the gospel is that God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul here did not talk about the divine and the human nature of Christ, although he undoubtedly believed that. Here, when the entire world saw Christ on the cross as a loser and a cursed man, Paul proclaimed that the glorious and wonderful salvation has been accomplished by this Jesus Christ, because he is just the perfect Son of David. By his resurrection from the dead, he has been inaugurated as the mediatorial king, the Son of God in power. The resurrected Christ has established his eternal kingdom, and he has been given all the authority on earth and in heaven. Now, Christ executes the same power to save those in the bondage of sin and death. This is the full gospel. Do you desire this power to save you? Do you cry out for this power to deliver you into the kingdom of God? Behold, this gospel is the only answer. The gospel is truly the power of God for your salvation. Do not be ashamed of it. It's truly your jade and your strength. It deserves to sell all you have in order to buy it. But maybe you will have a question. How can I, a depraved sinner, be worthy to be given the power to enter the holy and righteous kingdom of God and live in that righteousness? The answer is also in the gospel, because the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Let's look at verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. What's the meaning of the righteousness of God here? Notice that in verse 17, there is a parallel between the righteousness of God and the righteous man. Because the righteousness of God is revealed, just as it is written, the righteous man will live by faith. The simplest and reasonable explanation is that the righteousness of God is the same with the righteousness which a man has. It means that the righteousness of God is the status of the righteousness given to the believer by God. In other words, Paul here was answering a question. How can a sinner have the salvation if the salvation belongs only to the righteous? The answer is, a sinner without any righteousness by himself has been given the true righteousness by God, so that in God's eyes, he has become righteous. But where is this righteousness from? Paul answered. It is revealed in the gospel. Because Christ had lived a perfect righteous life and fulfilled all the commandments of God, and he had also undergone all the sins of his people and died on the cross for them, and had given his perfect righteousness to them, just as it is written in the 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Dear brothers and sisters, are you ashamed of the shameful cross? Are you embarrassed for cursed king and the dead God? Yes, it's truly shameful, scorned, and ridiculed by this unbelieving world. But if your king has not been cursed under the wrath of God, you will be cursed under the wrath of God forever. If your Christ has not become a shameful prisoner on the shameful cross, you will be shameful, will be ashamed in hell forever. Brothers and sisters, the shame of the gospel is just your righteousness and your glory. Do you recognize it? But how can you have this righteousness and have the power for salvation? The answer is, always believe in the gospel. For by faith alone, you will be justified and live in power. But the answer is very clear. It is from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The quotation here is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Okay, this is a hot battlefield. The main problem is that Paul appears to give the quotation a different meaning. If you turn to Habakkuk 2, 4, the context of that quotation is that God seemed not to react to the weakness and the iniquities in his people first. And then, God seems unjustly to raise up the more wicked Babylonians to judge more righteous Jews. And when the prophet Habakkuk complained about it, God instructed him, who was already righteous, that is Habakkuk, to face the difficulties of life by faith, and especially the apparent contradiction between God's promise to his people and what would take place in the future. But in Romans 1:17, Paul intended to use the quotation to characterize how a sinful man can enter a righteous status before God and so live forever. It seems a big problem. Even a famous Bible scholar, Douglas Moo, confessed that, quote, Paul's quotation differs from the meaning of the original. But I want to argue, whether we impose our concept of quotation too much on Paul. Because for Paul and his contemporaries, there was not a requirement for the precision of the quotation like today. For Paul, no matter what Habakkuk 2:4 exactly says, the faith is still the key to one's relationship to God. That the righteous must live before God by faith also hints that his righteous status before God is by faith. Because it is a part of religious life. The emphasis of the faith importance to one's relationship to God, including his righteousness and his life, is why Paul quoted this verse. Therefore, how can I have the power for salvation? How can I be justified? Just believe in the gospel. You have not any righteousness in yourself to exchange it. And you have not any merit to buy it. What you have is only the shame in your own sin and the desperation in your own sinfulness. But the gospel tells you, just come and just believe. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. There is an old gospel hymn. It describes the gospel so beautifully as below. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Do you think it is shameful to believe a naked man on the cross? That's because you are naked. Do you think it is shameful to believe a helpless God on the cross? That's because you are helpless. Jesus on the cross is shameful because you are actually shameful before God, and Jesus underwent this shame on your behalf. The gospel is shameful because the world does not realize how shameful it is before God. The shame on the cross is just what the unbelieving world will undergo in the day of judgment. But you, the followers of the Christ, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Because for you it is always the power for your salvation. The power to remove all your shame. Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed, and you, the foul man, has been washed and become righteous before God. The shame of the gospel is truly your comfort, your glory, your righteousness, and your joy. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, believe unashamedly in the gospel. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you. Come to the shameful Lord on the cross. Yes, the world, the whole world scorned you, despised you. And because the world don't believe you and despise you and scorn you, they also despise us, scorn us, ridicule us because we are your followers. Especially when we share the gospel to them, what we received is a shamefulness, is a despise. But Lord, if you did not receive the shame on the cross, we will receive the shame in the day of judgment. If you did not become the shameful man under the wrath and judgment of God, we will become totally shameful man in a hell for him. Oh Lord, please remind us the shamefulness of the cross, the shame of the gospel in the world's eyes is actually our glory. May all of us boast in it and live in it. For it is a power for our salvation. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed clearly and powerfully in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.